Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship, and we're so glad you made it here this morning. For those of you who are with us, for those of you watching online, we're glad you're joining us where you are, and we pray that this service will be uplifting and encouraging on your journey. But of course, we want our focus to be on lifting up the Lord and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. So with that in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be among your people. Lord, it's so good to worship you in spirit and in truth. So just help us today, Lord, as your people, to lift you up with all that we are, Lord, and to open our lives to all that you have for us. Speak a fresh word into our lives. Form us in faith that we can be faithful to you the way you have been faithful to us. Bless these moments that we share together, whether we're singing or praying or hearing the word proclaimed or gathering at the table. We pray that in all of these happenings today, that our focus will be on you and that your life-changing, sanctifying grace will move deeply in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, at this time we'll sing. this time, we want to go to prayer. So I'll ask Joy to come and lead us. Many of you know that Joy's neighbor, Laverne, had a stroke and is in a critical time period now. So please continue to pray for her. Continue to pray for Norma. She's making progress in rehab. Hopefully just another week or two and she'll be able to go home. She took over 80 steps at a time now. So good progress. So we're thankful for that. And just continue to pray for the family of Shirley Johnson and friends, close friends of hers that are dealing with her loss, and we are still feeling her loss as a congregation. But we're grateful for resurrection hope and for the faithfulness of our Lord. Pray for our nation, pray for places around the world where people are suffering, dealing with natural disasters, and still the virus. But pray for us to be faithful as a congregation in all of these trying times to shine like those who love the Lord. So, Joy, if you'll lead us.
I just ask that each one of you, no matter where you are or what position you're in, to please get comfortable. Let's relax and just be bathed in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you joyful at this opportunity to gather together to worship, to praise you, give thanks, and hear your word proclaimed. Father, we know that there are many needs, not only in this congregation and people connected to us, but around the world. So it's more important than ever that we pray, that we be prayer warriors. And Father, we give thanks for this wonderful, marvelous gift of prayer. You have given it to each and every one. There are no special words or no special way to do it. We just need to be quiet and come before you. Father, I pray for each of the ladies that were mentioned here this morning. They all have situations that are concerning. We pray for continued healing for Norma. We pray for Connie. And we pray for Laverne. And dear God, we pray that you will be with Laverne's family as they wait patiently at the hospital for new results. And Father, I pray that each one of these ladies will feel your presence in their lives, that they'll feel your loving arms supporting them, and that they'll feel the prayer support of all those who are lifting them to you. We know you are the great physician. There is nothing that is impossible to you, and for this we give thanks. We pray for those that are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray that you will comfort them, and dear God, give them rest. We know that it's really tough to go through the loss of somebody that you care about, knowing you will not see them. But we will be together again, dear God, when we all get together in heaven. And that's our goal. And Father, I pray that because of that being our goal, we will strive to make you more important each and every day in our lives. May we submit to your will. And Father, I pray for those that are suffering from the COVID. I pray for individuals that around the world are needing your physical touch. And Father, I pray for the doctors and the medical people that are caring for these individuals. Keep them healthy. Keep them safe. And Lord, I pray for this day, the message for the Holy Spirit to speak through Pastor Tim. Open our hearts and our minds that we may be receptive to the truths that you have for us. And Father, I pray that each and every day we will strive to do more of your will. And Father, I pray that we will love others as Jesus loves us, and that they will feel that love. We're all here for a reason, Lord, and we're here to build your kingdom. We love you so very much. We give thanks for the return of Pastor Tim and Ellen, and I ask a blessing on each and every home that's represented in this message this day. We love you so very much, and we want you to be a partner in all that we do and say. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. This time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. And we won't pass the plates today, but you can give on your way out. And we are making some progress toward our goal with the HVAC unit, but please continue to be faithful in your regular giving, whether you mail that in or use our online giving at our website, fairmeadowchurch.org, today. It's a great way to give. It gets auto-deposited to the church. Or you can give in person, which is also fantastic. We've currently raised $33,86.50 toward the goal of $59.50. We have a couple months left to get this done, so we appreciate those of you who have given above and beyond, and we're trusting the Lord to provide for this need. Okay, so this time we're going to be in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. So let's stand in honor of God's word. And we're reading somebody else's mail. Think about that. But beautiful, encouraging words for all of us today. Open your heart to God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is God's word. Amen. Well, so Paul sits down to write this letter to one of his favorite congregations, and he wants them to think about all that has happened in their lives and to take a sweeping look back at what God has done. Because sometimes when we're in the midst of God working in our lives and blessing us, we forget about how it used to be. Amen. We forget about the privileges that we're enjoying, and we just begin to take it all for granted and kind of put it on cruise control, or maybe even let ourselves slip into complaining and looking for problems, kind of the what have you done for me lately sort of thinking. But Paul wants to remind them that there was a time when the Ephesians didn't know, right? They know so much at the point at which he's writing this letter. They've experienced so much. But there was a time when they knew nothing of what God had for them. In verse 9, he said, He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. Now that's a word to pay attention to. That's a phrase that appears over and over again in this passage, in Christ. But it begins with knowledge, because human beings are born with an empty place in our lives that needs to be filled with something. So people try anything and everything, but it's there for us to reach out to God and to seek until we find, because God is always reaching into our lives. But until we figure that out, until we hear the truth, there is a shroud of mystery over it all. And people struggle sometimes, but those who are earnest and who keep seeking will eventually find, as the Lord says, when we seek him with all of our heart. But it was his good pleasure, and he set it forth in Christ, that people would know the truth, that the mystery would be revealed. There are some groups who act like the true knowledge that brings happiness and salvation can only be known in a dark, secret chamber, right? Only for the elite, only for a few. But that's not God's way. God is revealing that mystery. God is making known the opportunity of salvation. And most of the people in the Ephesian church would have been coming out of a pagan background where they did not know, but because of the faithfulness of others who came and spoke and preached and shared with them, they came to know the mystery of his will. And so it's good to remember that there was a time when they didn't know. Also, there was a time when the Ephesians weren't in Christ. So as they were living and functioning in their daily lives, they weren't in Christ yet. There had to be a connection that was made to take them from the everyday life that they were experiencing, the pain, the loss, the ignorance, the sense of fear about the world and about life as it unfolds, and to suddenly now come into a new kind of life where rich blessings flow into our lives every day. We have peace, we have salvation, we have hope for an inheritance to come. There was a time when that had not happened yet, and now it has. So again, I think Paul wants them to know that they shouldn't take pride in their progress, but instead they should be humble to know that before they were lost, but now they have been found. And I think by all of these cascading words, and this is one of those passages where you'll find a little bit of difference from one translation to the other as to what is a sentence or what goes together in a sentence. Because in the original Greek, Paul just gets fired up and it's really hard to find punctuation here. Now, of course, in the original manuscript, we don't have the punctuation anyway because they copied all the letters just compressed together to save on ink and paper. But we can tell for sure where things end and begin. But in this passage, I remember I had purchased a special Greek New Testament that had huge margins on the side, and I was going to be writing my own translation. This is before computers were so easy to use, but I was going to write my own translation in the margin as I was working on sermons. And this was the first one that I started using that Bible for. And when I started looking at it, I was like, where am I going to put a period? Where am I going to put a comma? He's just cascading word upon word upon word. And I think it's on purpose. I think that he wanted it to just hit them in wave after wave what God has done for them. He's filling them with wonder and awe at all that God has done, but also hitting that note again and again and again. En Christos, en Christos, en Christos, meaning in Christ. That is how all of these blessings have come. There's no need to look anywhere else. There's no need to look around to see if there's a better offer. What God has done for them in Jesus is all of the richness of their lives and all that they need. Well, so this lands in our lives today, here a couple thousand years later, and we realize that though most of us sitting here or watching online today, we may already have a life that is in Christ, we too should remember that there was a time when we didn't know. Do you remember what that was like? So what we now know came to us by the grace of God. It's not because we're the elite or we're the special ones. It's because God loves everyone and is sharing that news in every way possible through the life and the ministry of everyone who is faithful. So we heard the good news at some point on our journey because someone else taught it to us. Amen? Can you think of those who were faithful and taught it to you? Maybe others held a vacation Bible school in our neighborhood when we were growing up, and we got invited, and we went and had lots of fun and spilled lots of Kool-Aid and ate animal crackers and did silly relays. But we also heard about Jesus. Or maybe someone just brought us along to church because we were one of the family, and that's what our family did on Sunday morning. And our little feet were brought into the sanctuary and into Sunday school, and someone loved us and told us the stories of Jesus. However it happened for you, maybe it was a coworker, and in later years who just said, hey, I'm praying for you. Maybe they invited you to church. Or other family members who've been praying for you for years and years and years, and finally those prayers broke through and the hard edge in your mind or your heart melted, and you opened your life to Jesus, and everything began to change. But let's remember how sweet it is to be in Christ, to remember that there was a time when that wasn't true. I think when we recall that and remember that, it helps us to be thankful, and it also helps us to be sensitive to how to reach into other people's lives. There was a time when we weren't in Christ. We were into all kinds of things, perhaps. Maybe we were in school growing up and trying to be involved in things and experiencing acceptance and rejection and trying to find our meaning in friendships or approval of others. Or maybe we're involved in every kind of activity that could fill up those empty moments of our lives so we didn't have to stop and think about the things we know that we didn't know the answers to. But at some point, though we weren't in Christ, we found our way to Christ. And so our lives can be divided into two categories, kind of like Christian historians divide time and really have marked time this way for centuries. There is before Christ, right? B.C. And then there's A.D. Now, that's how we mark time now. That means Anno Domini. It means the year of our Lord. And so, although that calendar actually wasn't perfect, they were off by a few years, still, they're trying to look at time and saying, everything that came before Jesus is one batch, but everything since is different. Everything since means something more. For us, if we're following Paul's lead, we could have B.C. be before Christ, and then I.C. would mean in Christ, right? So are you B.C. this morning or I.C.? Have you met Jesus? Have you seen the difference that it makes in your life before Jesus comes? I'm going to say for me, life I.C. is much better than life B.C. Well, God bless the Ephesians, and it's powerful to notice this very clear point, that God blessed the Ephesians when they heard and believed in Christ. Here's what it says in verses 6 through 8. To the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. And so, it's powerful that what all of this stuff began to unfold when we heard and believed in Christ. So here's the things that we have: his glorious grace, redemption, and redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses. And it's all according to the riches of his grace. It's not according to anything we did or accomplished. And it's something that he lavished on us. In other words, it's like he poured out on our lives even more than we were asking for or thought that we needed. And he did it with all wisdom and insight, because that's how God does things. Amen? But it happened in this moment when they heard and believed in Christ. So that's what tilted the scales. That's what moved it. They heard, and then they believed, right? So they responded to grace. And that's what has to happen in the life of every person. We have to first hear it, and then we have to respond. And hold on to that thought as we go along here. He goes on to write that in Christ we are blessed in every necessary way. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He doesn't say with some cool blessings, right? It doesn't say that. It says every spiritual blessing. So there is nothing that we have missed out on if we are in Christ. Amen? Every spiritual blessing that there is ours in Christ. But as we're thinking about the wonder of the difference it's made in our lives individually, we need to realize that God is operating on a larger scale. It's not just about anyone's individual salvation. Not that that isn't important. It's extremely important. But it's just not all there is. We aren't just saved out here in our own little individual space for our own selves. Instead, it's a very big plan that God has. Verse 10. It says, as a plan for the fullness of time. So time is headed somewhere. It's not just randomly unfolding. As a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him. There's that phrase again. Things in heaven and things on earth. So God wants to redeem all of creation. And God wants to redeem every person you know. And I don't know if there is alien life. Have you seen all these reports of UFOs that the Air Force can't explain? I don't know. I think it's technology that they're messing with, but who knows for sure. But if there are aliens out there, God wants to redeem them as well. Amen? His plan is big. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. But God wants to redeem it all. And you are part of that if you are in Christ. And verse 4 brings us closer to the idea that in Christ we find full focus for our lives. It says in verse 4, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So God plans ahead, huh? To be holy and blameless before him in love. I'm going to read this again. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Verse 12. So that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ, what? Might live for the praise of his glory. So sometimes people want to take a passage like this and try to say that anyone who is saved, their salvation was predestined. They try to downplay that we have any role at all. They say that God just chooses certain people. He chose the people in advance, and everyone else is just out of luck. But that's not what this passage is saying. I think if you study it closely, it's saying that what is predestined is that the full set of blessings that he mentions here, all of these things, that they will flow into the lives of all who believe. That's the point of it. What's predestined is that if you are in Christ, that then these blessings come to you, your life is changed. That's what God was planning for before the foundation of the world. He wasn't making a list of favorites and creating other people that he was just going to abandon. That's not how the love of God works. God is love. Amen? So what he's predestined is that for all who hear and receive this truth, that these are the things that will flow into our lives, and nothing can stop them from flowing into our lives. Amen? Because God has planned for it from the foundation of the world. But hold that thought. Because there's even more here to say that salvation is for everyone. It clearly says that God has made a plan big enough so that everyone can be saved, and even the whole creation can be redeemed. Some people try to, there are religious traditions that say that creation and physical things are evil, and only things of the spirit are good, but God is working to redeem everything. And also, it says that this isn't automatic, right? Nothing here says it's only for some either. It's conditional. It says, in Christ, all of these things happen when we hear and when we believe. And most importantly, we don't receive all these blessings just to enjoy the experience, right? Being a Christian is not just a lazy river ride, okay? As fun as that might be. All these blessings that flow to us, they're for a purpose. That we would glorify God with our lives, Paul just said to us, but also that we would be holy and blameless in love before him. That he planned in advance, that he went to all of this effort, that Jesus came into our world, that he lived before us and taught us truth, that he went to the cross and died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, that he ascended into heaven and is coming again to call us home. All of that was so our lives could be transformed. Amen? And so God's goal in all of this would be for us to live holy and blameless lives. And all these blessings help us to continue making progress toward that goal. If we've heard the good news, if we believe the good news, then we can find ourselves in Christ. In Christ, God lavishes his grace on us. We are changed in a moment and formed over the rest of our lives. So we're not instantly perfect. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're not instantly perfect. But God's perfect love instantly begins working in our lives. Amen? And so we're not done yet. We can become holy. We can become blameless before him in love. And I'm so glad that it says in love, because that really is what it's about. Our performance may not be perfect, but the love that fills our heart is perfect. And so we can be perfected in love eventually over time so that we can live to the praise of his glory. Now, if that doesn't move you today, I can't help you. Amen. If it doesn't mean anything to you that there was a time when you didn't know, there was a time when you weren't in Christ, but that now you are in Christ and God has lavished every blessing on you, if that doesn't move you, then please hunker down and pray and read the word and come alive again until you hunger for the things of God and you give thanks for the wonders of his salvation. But this morning, the question comes, are you in fact in Christ? There may be some who've never known that Jesus is the answer. But if you are in Christ, give thanks deeply as we prepare to come to the table this morning. Look inside and let thanksgiving well up within you for all that God has done, is doing, and is going to do. But this morning, if you're not in Christ, the question is, why not? Is it because you haven't heard? Well, today you have. And this is your moment. Before we come to the table, realize that you need what only Jesus can provide. So confess your sins, your wrongs to God. Jesus died on the cross so you could be forgiven, and you can open yourself completely to all that God has for you, forgiveness, redemption, and life change. And you can believe that he died for sinners and that you're one of them. Believe that God raised him from the dead and that that makes all the difference and makes all of this possible. Believe that new life is yours in Christ. Make that choice this morning. And if you've been off track in your journey, then get back on track right in this moment to be sure that you're in line for all that God has for you. Let's say it together. In Christ. One more time. In Christ. And again, in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you, but it's only because you loved us so much before we even knew you. And we will be forever grateful, Lord, that you took an interest and that you cared. Father, the creation that you have unfolded before us, it has majestic beauty. And yes, it's broken. And yes, at times there are natural disasters and things we don't understand that happen. But there is much beauty and goodness about this world and about this universe. When we look up at the stars or look through a telescope, we see wonders that blow our mind. But those wonders do not compare with what you have done in Christ. These wonders do not compare to the blessings that flow to us from the heavenly realms in Christ. So, Father, help us to appreciate these spiritual blessings the most this morning. And if anyone is listening or watching, and this morning they are not where they need to be, they are not in Christ this morning, then, Father, would you move deeply in their lives? Convict them, yes, but as you so often do, Lord, draw them with the power of your love toward a life of greater purpose, a life of peace of mind, a life of knowing where we fit and belong in the world. We belong to you, Lord, and we belong to your people to live and love together. And I just pray you'll reach into the life of anyone who needs to make that choice this morning and make it so clear to them that life before Christ just cannot compare to life in Christ. And Lord, because of what you've done, powerful things can happen right now as someone would pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Father, please wipe away my past and my failures. Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he came into this world. He taught us love. He taught us how to know you. And then he laid down his life. And then he was raised up again so that we could not only be forgiven, but with resurrection power, our lives could be brought back to life. Though we were in spiritual death, now we can walk in newness of life. I believe that this morning. And I ask you to come and fill my life today. And as you forgive me, Lord, also change me. Seal me with that promised Holy Spirit, that I know that good inheritance that is to come, the fullness of the kingdom of God, and all of God's blessings ruling and reigning on this planet. I put my faith and trust in you this morning. And Father, please move in to every life that's trusting you. And Father, just give them that assurance that they now belong to you, that they now are in Christ, that they are on the way of Jesus. This morning, if that was your prayer, wherever you are, find a church family to plug in. If you're close by here, we're in Munster, you can check us out. If you're watching us now, you've got access to the information. But find a church. Father, help each person who's made this connection today to get connected to people who can love them and guide them in the way of Jesus. And now, Father, as we prepare, help us to be ready to come to your table, that we would receive once again fresh grace from you. We ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. For those of you that are watching online, we'll say goodbye for now. Thank you. Please follow up if you need to know more. For those of us who are here, let's prepare our hearts to come to the table at this time.